Hey, InterVarsity alumni. This is After Four, your podcast for navigating life after graduation. This is both an exciting and potentially tricky transition that you're making, and you might feel a little unsure about the coming weeks and months. We're here to provide you with expert advice, practical skills, and plenty of encouragement as you learn how to keep saying yes to Jesus in your new context. This is After Four, and this podcast is for you, alumni. What's up, alumni? Welcome to After Four, your podcast for navigating life after graduation. I'm your host and guide, John Steele, and we are continuing our series on vocational transition as we interview alumni who have made the jump from full-time student to full-time professional. And this week, we're speaking with Winona State University alumna Valerie Parkins. And Valerie is a travel nurse. Now, we're not leaning into her experience with travel nursing specifically, but Valerie is going to share about some of the unique challenges and opportunities of working in the healthcare profession when it comes to transition itself and as it relates to things like community, personal health, and partnering with Jesus at work. Here's Valerie, and this one's for you, alumni. Valerie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Of course. I'm so glad you're able to be here help us continue on the road of talking about the transition to full-time work in a number of positions, a number of professions. And we're going to talk about it from your perspective and your unique experiences that you've had in the world of healthcare, the world of nursing, and sort of the interesting timing that all of that has fallen into for you, and pandemic life and travel and all of that kind of stuff. So looking forward to hearing these stories and what it looks like to bring Jesus with you in those places. But before we do that too far, Valerie, would you just help us get to know you a little bit? Who are you?
Yeah, absolutely. I was born in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and raised in Wisconsin. And I went to college at Winona State, Minnesota, for nursing, and was part of InterVarsity there. And so that's how I got to meet you, because Mankato State, where you were staff, combined, we did conferences together with Winona and other cities in the region. So did that all four of my years in college and got to grow a lot in leadership and friendships there. And then I went to work in La Crosse, Wisconsin. I was at Gunderson Health System for 5 years. And I started out working with adults first and did about a year and a half doing adult neurosurgery and neuro unit, kind of.
Wow.
And then I went from there to we had both a NICU and a PICU unit, and the nurses staffed both. So NICU is neonatal intensive care unit, and then the PICU is pediatric intensive care unit. So getting to learn to care for the sickest of kids and babies and their parents. And so total, I got to spend 5 years at that hospital and through COVID. And then in September of 2022, I left to go travel nursing, and I've been doing that for about a year and a half now and haven't looked back yet.
Wow. Yeah. For both of our girls, when they were born, each of them spent some time in the NICU for a little. So we have a special place in our heart for NICU nurses. When you said that the caring for kids and their parents is like, absolutely. There's a lot of emotional care in particular that's going on in that space. So one part of your job that you've gotten to do, but so grateful for you and others like you who do those things. So like I said, we're going to be talking about what this transition was like for you. You've had several, like you're able to talk about like transition big time as far as nursing goes, because there's been a number of them for you. And it's still an ongoing part of your experience in this world. So it'll be interesting to hear how just the idea of transition uniquely hits for you as we talk through those things. With the desire of helping other alumni who are stepping into that space in the near future to say like, okay, so this is some of what I can maybe be prepared for. This gives me some ideas that I can kind of have in my back pocket as I think about that transition. And then also, what does it look like to do this right alongside Jesus and to where are the places that you see Jesus in the midst of this? Where are the places he's inviting you to grow? And what does that look like in this professional context? So we're gonna talk about a number of those things here. Valerie, let's just start big picture. As you think back to those early weeks and months of transitioning from full-time student into full-time career nurse, what was that transition like for you?
Wow, it feels like a long time ago. This makes me feel a little bit old, but that's okay. Yes.
It's a common feeling that people have on this podcast, Valerie.
I believe it. I mean, like any transition, I think it just takes some time. And I always have felt grateful for Jesus as my grounding space in that. And having grown in that in college even more, really just built a strong foundation. From the get-go, I worked both night shifts and day shifts. And so I'd rotate every couple of weeks where, you know, you do 12-hour night shifts and then 12-hour day shifts, and you kind of have to get used to living opposite of how you normally live and sleeping during the day. I feel like our bodies are not made for that. God has created us for many good things, but it's not made for night shift. So
yes, those circadian rhythms are important.
Yeah, it is definitely something to get used to. And so something I really stuck with me in college is like coffee shop life and coffee shop culture. And I am proud to say I'm still holding on to that. I'm not ashamed of it. I fully embrace being able to go to a coffee shop on a day off. And that has really been something that just really has helped in some rhythms weekly, I would say, with spending time with Jesus, spending time in the Word. Because when you talk about, you know, a normal daily devotional or normal daily prayer time or time in the Word, and you're like, yep, first thing when you get up or with your morning coffee, that's not always applicable. And so making space otherwise is really, really necessary. I've always worked both days and nights. I still haven't really done, you know, a solid day shift life ever. It's still always weeks at a time. Yeah, 7 years in and still doing that, but that's kind of how it goes. It's all right.
Let's lean into that just a little bit further. Like, what are, it sounds like hours, that's a challenging part, but say more, tell me more about where are some of the places that this job can help or hinder with a healthy work-life balance?
Everywhere, every place, is where it helps or hinders.
Okay.
I haven't worked in other professions, so I just have my experience, but I would say that it's one of the more all-consuming professions. Partially, you need to, you know, be able to rein that in for yourself and kind of keep that at a healthy level, emotionally and spiritually, as well as physically. For me, that when I wasn't traveling, when I was trying to build a community and join a church and join small groups and make friends and hang out with people outside of work, then, you know, but if you're working night shifts and you can't go to the Thursday night small group because you end up working a lot of Thursdays or, you know, however that goes, I would say that can be a frustration and really kind of, it just changes, you know, what's even available because, depending on what church you're going to and how plugged in you are, it's not like you always want to switch churches just for their schedule of their small groups. That's not really how that works. And so it turns into a lot of like one-on-one, time spent, I would say, because if you can end up working around someone else's schedule to do a mentoring thing or, being able to meet up, you know, with a smaller group of people for Bible studies or things like that. So it just depends. So I feel like that's something I've really had to learn to balance. I wouldn't say I'm perfect at it, but I've over the years really had to kind of steward that time and my wellness differently at different times.
So being in a place like NICU and PICU, I would have to think that the emotional side or the potential for the emotional side of what you're experiencing being with, with little kids and their parents, to see them going through some things where they're just like, I've never been here before. I don't know what to expect. What is it like stepping into that space and then going home at the end of your shift? I mean, is there a way that you've found for, like, in a healthy way, compartmentalizing, or like, how do you maintain even just emotional health in the midst of experiencing what for some people might be like the scariest time in their life?
Excellent question. And I think it's one that the answer changes at different times. And it definitely has changed over my nursing career so far. Like you said, you're with people in some of the scariest times of their lives and the most vulnerable, therefore. And so, yeah, it just really opens it up to a lot of things that can happen just on a shift. So I feel like when I... on my ride home, usually, like, I enjoy a 20-minute ride home or so. Every place that I travel to, I try and, like, find a place to live that's a little bit away so that I don't just, you know, zoom right home. And for me, that has been really helpful in just processing kind of in silence sometimes. Like, often I'll just have a car ride that's silent, and that works for me. I'm an introverted person. I'm an introverted internal processor. And so... usually it just kind of all mulls and sits in my brain for days sometimes. If it was something particularly stressful in a shift, then, you know, I'll be praying about it on the drive home, or there are plenty of shifts that you end up praying in the storage closet halfway through the shift because
you
that's what you need.
Yeah.
Something else I learned in college, which I'm very grateful for, is how to journal. That's how I make the internal processing become external. Sometimes it comes out as a prayer. Sometimes it comes out just as a word vomit, like a vent session. And I would say that that has been a lot of the way that I do that, because the people around me, other than my coworkers, are not medical professionals. And even if they were, they would have their own issues then. They would have their own, you know, traumas to process through, their own experiences from work to process through. And so I really have tried hard not to burden other people with that, because it's not necessarily theirs. It's mine. And then the easiest person to put that on then is God, because he can handle it. He knows. Coworkers otherwise then too are really helpful in that. If they've been a nurse for any amount of time, they've experienced what you've gone through. Even better if they're also a Jesus lover, that they're a Christ follower. Yeah. And that really adds just that other depth of being able to process and bond.
Yeah. Knowing that you're in a setting that there is just like, I would imagine that there are situations of extreme triumph and then also places of just real sadness. And thinking in the realm of sort of relational connection, whether it's with patients or their parents or with your coworkers, like, is there a balance that you need of sort of, I need to guard in certain ways here and I need to maintain openness in other ways? Like, have you noticed anything like that of sort of, here are where I put up the walls and here are where I take the walls down?
Definitely. I would say we're very good at putting up walls when it comes to the negative situations, because that can be the way then that you don't take it all home with you.
Sure.
You always kind of take some. And I would say that every nurse processes things differently in that way. And I would definitely say that their view, their perspective on eternity and what that means to them really impacts how they process those things. Because if you do have a death in the unit, or if you have just, you know, kind of a drawn out, really, you know, long-standing patient that eventually maybe passes, but it takes a long time, it can really bring up a lot of ethical questions or just ethical thoughts in conversation. And I would say that, yeah, some people are at different times, I would say even me too, all people, all nurses, really can put up a wall to protect bringing home all that hurt and all that pain that they're watching these families go through sometimes, and the patients. And then I would say it also, it really depends. There's also for sure times that those also spark really deep conversations, really open conversations. And I think a lot about, like, we experience rough times at work all the time, but in COVID, especially when it just was so, you know, day-to-day kind of scary and unexpected, and it's things that we're not trained for until we were more, it really kind of, you could see different people panicking and different people having just really guttural, scary, like end of life type fears about what this pandemic meant. And then you could also see the people that identify as Christians and say that they, you know, believe there's more past this earthly life, and just a huge difference in the countenance of those people, having an eternal perspective versus just an earthly perspective. So it definitely, it opens up everything, if you let it. And I would say that most people are open at different times, not all the time. It depends on the day, it depends on the shift, but, it definitely brings out some of the most frightening and most real conversations ever.
You're already bringing up just some of the other things that I want to know about, and that is bringing Jesus with you into this space. And we know that Jesus is already there. Like, he cares very deeply for the work that's being done, the hospital setting. So you're quote unquote bringing Jesus with you, like actively, purposefully partnering with Jesus in this space. What does that look like? And then right alongside that, are there like unique opportunities or challenges, openings or challenges for sharing Jesus with people in that space?
Absolutely. I would say the thing that has surprised me more than I expected was I find a lot more opportunities to share Jesus and to really be able to serve people when it's the patient or the parents, actually, the family members, more than coworkers often.
Okay.
Because like I said, nurses can be very guarded, kind of very set in their ways, as many people can be. But you know, they see the gamut of beliefs and of cultures and of different, you know, patients that come into the hospital. And so the hospital is not necessarily where they would expect to see things change their lives and have that be their work scenario. And so I've been very blessed, very kind of surprised, but then very blessed with situations that I've been able to really bond over faith or be able to pray with or just have that connection with family members. And pediatrics is a very unique area that you can sometimes become friends on Facebook or on social medias with family members, with the parents.
Okay, interesting.
That's really not how it goes with any other part in the hospital because of confidentiality and of, you know, just that's not what adults want usually. Like sometimes it happens in an adult unit if you really bond over things and you become friends, but really not often. And so sometimes with NICU parents or with pediatric parents, they look up their nurses later and friend you. And so obviously if that wasn't a good bond for you, you don't need to accept, but often then it's a way to keep kind of sharing life and seeing where each other is at. And like you said earlier, some patients can stay in the hospital for months and months and months. And, you really become those parents' family, for better or worse. And you really are the ones there in the middle of the night and during all the days that are really long days. And they're trying to just grasp onto anything that feels normal because living in a hospital is not normal. And, even if they really don't have a faith established already or a strong relationship with God, it kind of leads to those questions and some of those most vulnerable moments for families, because, you know, that's kind of, I would say, where, when a lot of people are led to those questions about God and about what that looks like, is in the most vulnerable, stressful times in life.
I know you have to be careful because of confidentiality do you have like any elements of stories that you could share of a moment that you're like, this is one that stands out to me of like, this felt like a really special moment that I got to have with a patient's parents?
I have many. the one that comes to mind first is, it was a patient that, the mom did not specifically speak English and or not well. And so, and I speak a little bit of the language that she speaks, but not much. And so we were kind of struggling with that, and hospitals have interpretation services. We were using that for the big medical updates, but when you're just trying to have small talk and chat, that doesn't always work very well. And so you just kind of help them do what you're doing. And a lot of people aren't able to continue the small talk. But in the TV in the NICU room, she had pulled up YouTube on the TV and had music playing, which is not uncommon. And I didn't, you know, understand any of the words. I didn't really, you know, wasn't listening too closely to it, but I could tell by the cadence and by just how the music was written that it was worship music. And it was in her language. And so I was trying, I was like standing there. I remember the moment that I was like, how do I, like, in a non-creepy way, ask her, is this worship music? Are you a Christian? Like, you know, that's not, even in English, that's not what you say. You don't just say, hey, are you a Christian? Like, how's that going? But you kind of have to figure it out in a different way, like when people talk about their habits of how that goes. So we got there a little awkward, but it just like changed the whole demeanor of how we were communicating. And it went from, you know, her being stressed and being in this situation with her daughter that was born to having a different connection entirely. And it was so cool. And I mean, it's every shift is so different. And I would be completely lying if I said every shift I'm ready to look for those opportunities and I'm ready to like be completely open to them because I'm human and that's not how that goes. But I just am so grateful for the times that God has slid those moments in and pointed things out that, I mean, how many other people would not have necessarily caught that if they don't listen to worship music or have experience with that? Like, that's not even something that could have been touched on. So that was a special one. That one's really cool.
I really like that. I would have to imagine that again, even if, like language still continued to be a barrier of some sort, that there was just this new level of connection, this new level of understanding of like, you know, we don't share this like vocal common language, but we share another language. And because you're a professional, you've been in this space before, I don't have to tell you some of the things that I'm worried about, some of the bigger, like even faith questions that this brings up for me of like, where is God's goodness in these really scary moments of my life? And that this person was just like, you get that. And so like, even that right there just cements this emotional bond for us. And I feel supported in a way that other people can't support me here. And that I would have to think that that was just a really, that it buoyed spirits for sure. And just created like a really meaningful connection between the two of you.
Definitely. And then those shifts are the drives home that I am not in silence, but I am instead playing music and, and really driving home with a smile on my face instead of the times that I'm in silence and trying to just compartmentalize what happened.
Valerie, as you think through all of these things, like sort of my last two questions that I want to put together for you here. And that's like, one, what do you love most about your work? Mm-hmm. And two, if you could give a final piece of advice for an alum who's about to graduate and step into this nursing or generally healthcare experience, like what's a piece of advice that you would give them to close up?
What you all just, you know, spoke about there is what I love most. Despite all the stressful things about healthcare and about the nursing world, the moments that I can really focus on the bedside manner and can really focus on caring emotionally and mentally for the family members, for the parents, for the patients, is what keeps me coming back to work. And truly, it just, I don't know, God calls everybody to all different types of careers and different places in their lives. And there are some that just, I would say, are very tangibly that he's using you as his hands and feet. And I feel very blessed that that is nursing and that's what I get to do. Like I said, I don't always have that mindset as I'm driving to work, but that's what I'm most grateful for, that I truly can pinpoint so many times, whether the parents even knew it or the family recognized it, but that I can walk away from it feeling like I really was being able to minister and serve to those people on that day and each shift each day. And the biggest, this kind of transitions into my piece of advice, I guess, the thing that is part of just battling how to do this job and keep doing it and do it well and feel good about doing it is, it's the biggest piece to me, that I know that God has it more than me, that it's my hands, but it's his. And, I'm the one in the room and I'm the one having the conversations, but I'm praying that it's his words and his presence. And, that I know that he's blessed me with the personality and the skills to do things well. And, that maybe are, you know, nicely tuned to being a nurse sometimes, but, he's also brought me through so much growth and so much, learning that has gone with that over these years. So I feel like just the biggest comfort in all of it is that it really is his hands in the end. And it takes a little pressure off of me. Just a little.
Absolutely. That's great. What a great encouragement of this is in God's hands. Yes. He's invited you to be a part of this work with him. Absolutely. And oftentimes in very direct hands-on, like quite literally the hands of Jesus in this space. But that even so, he is the one ultimately that is moving. And, I think that is, it's important for us to remember our place in all of this, that we've been invited on purpose. Yeah. But that God is the one who is in control of all of these things. And that's fantastic. Valerie, thank you so much for giving time and sharing your experiences, what this has been like. And I know that there's so much. I mean, we could have zoomed in and talked even more specifically about like travel nursing, like for all of our travel nurse alumni who are out there, that we could have really leaned even further into that. But I'm just really grateful for big picture, the things that you've shared with us here. And thank you for loving people well in the position that you're in, for wanting to bring Jesus with you into that space. And it's really cool to get to hear from alumni like you who are existing in this context in their everyday life. So thanks for sharing some of that with us.
Definitely. It's been an honor. It's been really fun too. This has been great.
Alumni, no matter your vocation, calling, or current work situation, you are the hands and feet of Jesus, no doubt about it. But to any of you alumni listeners out there, specifically in the world of nursing and healthcare, I've always felt like you embodied this reality in a very unique way. To step into the very real sickness, pain, fear, and vulnerability that so many people feel when they enter a healthcare setting, it just requires a unique level of love and attention. And it's oftentimes at risk to your own physical, mental, or emotional health. Jesus didn't shy away from the so-called untouchables of his day. He leaned in. And that's exactly what you do with the sick, the hurting, and the dying on a daily basis. Thank you for bringing Jesus to the world in such a meaningful and tangible way. And as you make the transition into doing this full time, I hope you'll remember Valerie's encouragement that God is ultimately the one at work and in control in your context. Let him hold that space in his hands while you simply use the gifts that he's given you to use. Be fully present, but also make space to pull back, to rest, and to remember what things are yours to hold on to and what things are God's in a space where I can only imagine it is so easy to carry the full weight of your work on your own shoulders. Valerie, thank you so much for joining us this week, and thank you for the work that you do, taking care of such a vulnerable population along with their parents and loved ones through really difficult seasons of life. And blessings as you continue your latest stint of travel work as well. Alumni, come back next week as we continue our series with a conversation around navigating a profession in the world of finance. UNC Wilmington alumnus Kyle Campbell joins us to discuss how he's learning to partner with Jesus and to love people while working for a billion-dollar company in a context that is laser-focused on dollars and cents and the bottom line. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you in the after, alumni. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today, alumni. If there was anything that you learned, really enjoyed, or that encouraged you from today's episode, would you send us a DM or tag us in a story? We'd love to hear about it. You can find us at After4Pod on Instagram and Facebook. And if you haven't already, take just a second to unlock your phone and subscribe to the podcast If your platform lets you, leave us a rating and a review. And if you like what we're doing here, share us with your InterVarsity or other post-graduation friends. Thanks again for listening, and I will see you in the after, alumni.